Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
In chapter 23 of Numbers, verse 12, Balak was so confused. He said, "What have you done to me?" In verse 11, "I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together." Verse 12, it said, and he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth?" An evil man said that. An evil man said that because he had smote the donkey, stay with me, three times before this, in the chapters before this. He smote that donkey three times, abusing him. The donkey was a symbol of Israel. He smote him and smote him and smote him every time he stopped. He didn't know why he was stopping, but the donkey was seeing an angel who was bringing a message to him. And he was trying to warn him, but he wouldn't listen, so he beat the donkey instead. But when he finally listened and heard from the angel himself, even in his evilness, he knew that he had to heed the word of the Lord. There's some people that have spoken things over your life, spoken things over your children's lives, spoken things over your dreams, spoken things over your neighborhood, spoken things over the city of Philadelphia, spoken things over our nation. But God, say it with me. But God. Chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, verse 20. I have received commandment to bless, and he that blesseth, I cannot reverse it. So here this evil man is telling him, I can't reverse what God said. Nobody can reverse what God has said about you before the foundation of the earth. They can't reverse it, Kayla. And guess what? It don't matter what you did. If you come back to him, he is faithful and just to do just what he said. It is written. Yeah. We fast forward to chapter 25. What did they do to sabotage themselves? The men were wooed into idolatry and whoredom by the Moabite women. A couple verses down, you'll see that because of this, they lost 24,000 men in order to save the rest of the people. He had to slay 24,000 men. Remember, this is the same ground in Numbers that we're talked about in Joshua 3. And I'm going to bring it back to a third place. They fell prey to idolatry and whoredom with the Moabite women. We have to be careful that we pay attention to the places. Somebody say places. The places where we are. The places where you put your feet. The places where you let your mind go. Places carry power. That's why he told them every place that your feet tried. Yeah. Come on, you didn't get it. I said places carry power. That's why he told them every place that your feet tried. Yeah. You're going to take authority over that place. Not only will you take authority over it, but because you will be able to take authority over it, I'm going to give it to you. So why did we start in Joshua 3? Would sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, what did he tell them? Sanctify yourself for what? Tomorrow. You're going to come into some stuff that you've been waiting for 40 years. Some stuff you've been, anybody been waiting for some stuff for years? But if you know your place, if you remember how to pull your head out from between the bars that we talked about last week and stand up and reposition yourself, you're still going to cross over on dry land. You're still going to walk into the promised thing. Hallelujah. The last thing. Scholars say that the same place that they were in Numbers, the land, the place, that they ended up in Joshua, right before they crossed over into the promise, is the same journey that Jesus walked when he came on a donkey with the palms that represent freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. But guess what? That's what the palms represented to the Israelites. To the Christians, the palms represented martyrdom. That someone's life would be taken. But it's not different than what it represented to the Jews. Because for us, Marie, one more thing to you, and I'm gonna give the mic to my husband so he can run around and make us scream.
Oh, Lord, I love it.
For the Christian, for us, it may sound like it's a drastic difference for what the palms represent, but it's not different. Why is it not different than victory? Why is it not different? Because for us, to die is gain.
Yeah.
For us, we win by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony. I'm going to read you one of my favorite scriptures to make you know that I'm not just talking out my head. Romans 8, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, how many things? In all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure you get this down. Come on, come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah, come on. Stir up what you just heard. Say, Father, I receive it. Come on. Say, Father, I receive it. Father, I receive it. In the name of Jesus. Now, we want to make sure that you get
Thank
this
you,
deep understanding in your spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, good understanding. Listen to me. Listen to me. Good understanding brings favor to your life. The more you understand, you literally open a door, Pastor Bob, for the favor of God to overwhelm your life. If it were not so, then the Bible would not have said, with all thy getting, you can get a car, you can get a house, you can get a spouse, you can get all of that, but with all thy getting, make sure that you get understanding. Understanding opens, Minister Baldy, a doorway of favor. And when that doorway of favor opens, God's sovereignty overwhelms you. That means that the favor of God is so good that when you step into that portal, he does what you couldn't do yourself. He barters. Oh my God. He barters for you. He barters. He runs the wages for your children. He runs through the generational line. You, because of what you understand, you literally step into favor. If it were not so, that's why the enemy will always try to keep you in darkness. So that you never move in the dimensions or the intentions that God intended you to move in. Amen? So watch this. So when we hear the kingdom, because we're going to wrap this around Palm Sunday, the subject of the Bible is about a king, his kingdom. For those that are writing this down, the subject of the Bible is about a king, his kingdom, a royal family. I want you to get this, a royal family, a kingdom established on earth, a kingdom lost on earth, a kingdom restored on earth, a kingdom that has come and is coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say this to you again, because once you understand it, you can start to move in dimensions with clarity. I'll say it to you again. The subject of the Bible is about a king, his kingdom, a royal family, a kingdom established on earth, a kingdom lost on earth, a kingdom restored on earth, and a kingdom that has come and is coming. Now watch this. The kingdom of God is so important that God tells us to seek it first. The kingdom of God is so significant, Minister Constance, that he didn't, Pastor Doug, even want you to guess as to what you should seek in life. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be attracted to you. That word attracted means magnet. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Let me work with you. So as you pursue the kingdom of God, he literally makes you attractive. He makes you a magnet. Yeah. In other words, you don't have to waste your precious life chasing stuff.
Yes.
Oh, God, let me say it for the people in the back. You don't have to waste your precious life chasing stuff. Why? Because there are a whole lot of people that have stuff, but they're still sad. And so Jesus turns it on his head. So everything he does is counterintuitive. The counterintuitive nature of God is like this. Love your enemies. Well, that's counterintuitive. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's counterintuitive. The kingdom works like this, where he'll say, give and it shall be given to you. And he said, blessed are they that give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is always counterintuitive. God will ask you to give, and you'll say, well, God, this is all I have. Yeah. He said, that's all I'm asking you to give. Because every time you obey the counterintuitive, somebody say counterintuitive. Every time you obey the counterintuitive nature of God, you put him on the hook.
Say that, explain that.
In other words, he's on the hook to provide for you. So every time you pay your tithe and then you wave your hand with the toda or the yada and say, God shall supply all of my need
according to
his riches and glory. So the moment that you obey him, you put him on the hook. Amen. The moment that you start to live by faith, when you start to move towards what you see in the invisible realm and you obey it, God says, you put me on the hook. Somebody say, I'm going to put God on the hook. Because remember, he's always on the hook for your life. Because he chose you, you ain't choose him.
Amen.
He chose you. God. So it's counterintuitive. Watch this. Watch this. So seeking first, seeking first. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means this. What matters most gives perspective to anything that matters at all. I want you to get this in your spirit. Because he said, seek it first. What matters most will begin to give perspective to anything that matters at all. And so what he's saying is that as you pursue him, he'll prioritize and reprioritize the rest of your life. But I want to make sure that you make me first. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Excellent.
So it gives you a framework for determining your priorities. So let me just give you this. The kingdom of God is the active reign of God in the hearts of God's people. It is the active reign. So watch this. He says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy produced by the Holy Ghost. So as he doesn't reign over you. He desires to reign through you.
God.
So if you run a hair salon, the folks might be saying, well, where's the kingdom of God? It's right on your hair. God. If you're teaching in a school building, they might say, well, where's the kingdom of God? It's right here at this whiteboard. Where's the kingdom of God? It's right in your neighborhood. Yeah. He doesn't desire to rule over you, but he desires to rule through you with love, with peace, with joy, with kindness. And so as he rules through you, what happens is you begin to manifest all that he is, and people start to say, I want that God.
Yes.
I want that God. I was in Southwest Philly working with a group of middle school students, and most of the kids in the classroom were Muslim. But as I started to manifest my stuff, God, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. I wasn't in there preaching Jesus, but as I started to work my stuff, as I started to teach. Now watch this. So when you start to move in your thing, whatever your thing is, the glory that's inside of you will start to manifest, and it creates it's a tangibility. It's a tangibility. It's something that they can feel. Yeah. And so as I was manifesting my stuff, which is his stuff, is his light, that makes me a light. And so as I was manifesting my stuff, which is his stuff, it draws them. Yeah. And here you have boys fully garbed, drawn, saying, tell us the secret to life. Tell us the master key. What were they? They were trying to get close to a father. They were trying to get close to the love, and they saw it.
Yes.
That's why Jesus says, have not I been with you this long, and you have not seen the Father? He said, now watch this. They said, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. A lot of times people are living dissatisfied because they've never seen the Father. I worked at schools where I've seen young girls and young boys grown weary of their mother's voices. Weary, but longing to hear one voice. And some of them were saying, you don't even have to give me anything. Just let me hear your voice.
My God.
Why do you think the enemy always fights men with silence?
Yes. Woo.
You saw me struggling and you said nothing. You saw me rumbling. You saw me with blood in my mouth and you said nothing. That's what God is trying to reconcile. And so he says, in Psalm 27, he says this. He says, when that happens, when, now watch this. Here's the provision. You're crying because that has happened to you. He says, when that happens, Psalm 27 says, when mother, God, when mother, God, and father forsake you, God says, guess what I will do? I'll give you a platform. He says, Pastor Bob, I'll take you up. Watch what happens. Watch this. He elevates you. He elevates you. Watch this. When you grew up without it, he creates a situation. Somebody said he creates a situation. That's why mothers, you got to pray. Mothers, you got to pray. I had a grandfather that didn't want to deal with us, but I had a screaming, a hollering, a praying. And some of y'all might, well, that's ignorant. That's too much. But that's what it takes.
That's what it takes. Come on. Come on. Come on, Owe.
And the old man said, daughter-in-law, I don't want to deal with them little boys because of how my father dealt with me. So I don't know, God, how to deal with them. But thank God for a praying mother. It was her prayer that took a man that didn't know how and took two little boys and put them in a little truck and said, cut grass with them. And we cut grass for about 5 summers. And then the old man, who was religious, who was on the choir, but wasn't saved. When the old man was about to die,
my God,
he said, what you got for me? Looking at 16-year-old boys saying, that's why you can't despise your youth. He looked at us and said, what you got? And we said, Grandpa, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Hallelujah.
And we said, you received that? He said, I received that.
Hallelujah.
This is that.
Yeah. This is that.
This is that. That's why, watch this. That's why you can't ever despise what God allowed you to go through. You can't, watch this. You can't ever say, well, that was nothing. Well, he would use it. Now, my bishop said that God employs everything. He's able. He said, watch this. He said, all things. Somebody say all things.
All things
work together for good. Watch this. To them that love God.
Love God.
You got to make sure
you always love God. You got to love
that no matter what, even if you don't get the call, but love God. Keep loving God. Keep loving God. Keep obeying God. Because watch this. The thing that you thought wasn't going to work out, Janine, it's working
for your good.
For you. Watch this. And all things work together to them that love God. Watch this. And are the what?
The
what?
The called.
The called. Not according to your purpose. God. Because if you try to work your thing out, you're not doing too good. But when you step into his thing, it brings fulfillment.
Yeah.
It brings mastery.
Yeah.
It brings eternal life.
Oh,
it'll reconcile your marriage. It'll reconcile your children. It sets you up,
Jesus,
as a what? A model. Say, I'm a model.
Prince.
I'm a model for how it should
come
be.
Come
ahead.
Right here. Come right here. Don't leave.
Hallelujah.
Leave. Come right here. God is showing me something.
Yes.
Go down. Step down. Step down one more time.
Yeah. Hey.
Step down one more time.
Hey.
Right there. The Holy Spirit said the thing you were talking about the trials and the tests that
yes.
come, the forsaking of mother
yes.
and father. He said those things come like weights. And we try to get away, don't
yeah.
we? We try to get away from trouble. It's
yeah.
heavy, right? It's
yeah.
heavy. We try to get away from it. We try to wriggle out of it. I don't like this person. This is happening
like
to
church.
Me. The job is wearing me out. I don't have enough money. And you try to get away from it. But what happens is when you stand in him, when you love him, when you keep pressing after him, when you remember what's first, he showed me, he said, I make that thing, that trial, that tribulation, he said, and it turns into a weight. But it's a different kind of weight. It's a different kind of weight.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
even
yeah.
holding myself up. I know he's not going
to
drop
I'm
me.
Strong enough
Hallelujah.
To handle you.
That's how God does us. Hallelujah. I can lift my foot up.
Yeah.
But you know what happens?
Yeah.
He won't drop me.
I ain't letting her fall.
He said the thing that was a weight, the thing that was a trial, the thing that was trouble, he turns it into glory. He turns it into glory.
Woo.
And that word glory means
weight.
The weight of God.
Hey.
The weight
yeah.
of God. So
yeah.
that thing that was weighing you down, when you seek him first, what begins to happen? You only get weighed down by
yeah.
his glory. It's the
yeah.
only thing that's weighing you down
my,
now.
My, my,
it's
my,
the
my,
glory
my,
of
my,
God.
My, my, my,
that's
my.
What the young boys who were observing Ramadan saw
yeah.
on Pastor O.
Yeah.
It was the glory.
They saw
Look
it.
At me. I'm preaching out my
yeah.
shoes.
Yeah.
It was the glory.
Take them shoes
it was the glory. It was the glory. And that's why they were drawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you're in your space.
Yeah, whatever that might be.
Whatever right. your space might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wrong space. No space is better than the other space. I don't care if you drive a trash truck. You better
or
be
you
the kingdom
the
of God on that trash truck. Work for the water department.
The water department.
You better be the glory of God in that water department.
Or the IRS.
I don't care if you work at the IRS. Nobody like the IRS. You better be glory in the IRS. Give me something else, Pastor O. What else you got?
The electric department.
The electric department. We all up in the utilities right now. You better bring Jesus to the electric department. What else you got?
Or KFC.
KFC. You better be Jesus with Noah's finger looking good. Hallelujah.
Yes. Watch this. Mark chapter 4, you ain't got to turn to it. Watch this. He says
True.
This. He says the kingdom of God, the
Come
kingdom
on.
Of God, the kingdom of God
Thank you,
is like
Come on.
A mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. He says, it is the smallest of all herbs. But when it is cast into the ground,
Hallelujah.
It becomes the greatest of all herbs. Now watch this. Then he says that the mustard seed is so, no, the kingdom of God is so powerful. He's comparing it, Brother Wayne, to a mustard seed because he's saying that when it grows up, the birds lodge under its shadow. Hear me. Here's the lesson. The lesson is that when you legitimately surrender to the kingdom of God, you no longer have a one generation anointing.
That's good.
You no longer, it's no longer just about you, what you can save, what you can invest, what you can do. He's saying that the kingdom of God, when it's truly planted, that it should have a generational impact
yes.
that extends beyond you.
Yes. And just real quick to jump in there with
God,
the intercession. So when I talked to you
My
about
God.
Numbers 25 and what happened when they had the 24,000 were lost, Phinehas came through.
Yes.
And what he did was he used his javelin yes. to go through the belly, King James Version said,
yes.
of the man and woman who were sinning. And it was because of his fierce intercession. Somebody say fierce intercession. His fierce intercession that the people were saved. But not only them. Just what Pastor O just said. It said the generations, and the generations were redeemed because he interceded in that area of sin. So it's never just for us.
I'll prove it to you. Is Pastor Andrew here? I want you to get us, as a church, I want you to get us 200 copies of this book. Bring the camera on me. I want you to get us 200 copies of this book. I think I know the author.
I think I know him too.
I know him well. It's called You Are Anointed. You Are Anointed to Prosper. It was written in 2006. I want to quote one thing, Bishop C. Milton Graham. So your book has already made it to the next generation. In other words, this book is a sign of how who you are should impact the next. And when it's a good impact, you shouldn't always have to do something. God. The work was already done. In other words, some of you need to be thinking about how you set up your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to be financially free. That when you are dead and gone, what you've invested speaks for you beyond the grave. So he says this on page 7. He says, part of our possession, I like to use the word entrustment, is dominion. That was the original assignment God gave to humanity when the Lord created the first man and woman in his divine image. I'll read that to you again. The original assignment, this is Bishop Graham, that God gave to humanity when the Lord created the first man and woman in the divine image was dominion. A synonym for the word dominion is kingdom. Dominion is still our assignment for living. But we cannot have dominion if we feel or think as if we are dominated all of our lives. We cannot move into what God desires for us if we constantly think that we are dominated and defeated. I want you to put this picture up. This is where you are. You are closer than you think. Put that picture up. You're closer than you think. I'm going to end with this picture. The picture of the man that's very close to the diamonds. Not that one.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're closer than
closer
you think.
Than
yeah,
you think,
that's
New
you.
Covenant. Closer than you think.
Look at the man on the bottom. That's many of us.
Thank you, Jesus. Closer than you think.
We were this close.
Thank you, Jesus.
To our children receiving
come
a breakthrough,
on,
but we stopped
on.
Praying.
Come on.
We were this close to our marriage being restored, but we stopped. You were that close to the opportunity that was about to get in your hands that would have changed your whole generation. You were that close.
But you stopped.
And then you turned around. I want to submit to you today, don't go back to those bad habits. Don't go back to that bad relationship. Don't go back to those bad ideas because you're closer than
back.
You think. And you might say, well, am I going to get the diamonds? Here's the deal. You already have them. You already have them. But God is asking you to move forward for another manifestation. You already have everything that you need to be successful.
Yeah,
and the thing that has to keep you moving forward is this. Sometimes he'll let the wind blow.
Mm.
Just give me my second wind.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me, sometimes he'll send help. So whatever it is, I want you to remember that you are closer than you think. And when the king comes into Jerusalem.
Come on.
That's why this week is significant, because the king has arrived in Jerusalem. And they're crying out, Hosanna, save, because they recognize that the king is the one that has our salvation. They're waving the palm trees because they recognize that they already have the victory.
Hallelujah.
That's why you can wave. That's why you can worship. That's why you can lift your hands, because the king, God, has arrived, but he's not just going to a cross. He's in you.
He's in you.
And because he's in me, I can lift my hands. Because he's in me, I can lift my hands with no palm tree. I can cry Hosanna every day of my life.
Hallelujah.
And declare you are the one.
Thank you, Jesus.
With salvation.
Hallelujah.
Because he came to fulfill prophecy.
We're on the brink of the breakthrough.
My God.
You're on the brink of the breakthrough. Amen. You're on the brink of the breakthrough.
Amen.
Sanctify yourself.
Sanctify yourself.
Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, God will do wonders among you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.